Today I'm speaking with Job Curtis, who manages the Henderson Global Equity Income Fund. Now, Job, the fund's objective and philosophy do seem to be fairly self-explanatory in the name, but I would like you to tell us, in your words, a little bit about what the goals are.
Yes, thank you. We invest in equity income stocks, so we're investing in companies with above-average dividend yield, and the aim of the fund is to really produce a good return for investors, but probably with more emphasis on the income side than the capital side, unlike many funds. And we invest globally, although we have at any point somewhere between 15 to 25% roughly in the US equity market. Currently it's around 20%. We do invest overseas predominantly. We have about currently about 80% in overseas equities, and we're often able to find better yields overseas than are available in the US.
Mm-hmm. Now, I do notice that year-to-date, the performance has been better than the overall indices in many of these cases. Is this something that you're looking at total return? How should investors evaluate your fund if they're interested in coming into this?
Well, yes. I mean, we tend to invest in the steadier stocks. I mean, our fund, we have a technical expression, is a lower beta fund, and it's in less volatile companies. So our type of stocks may not outperform in a rapidly rising market, but they do tend to hold their value better in a falling market, and in particular they have decent dividend yields. And I think that's a source of comfort to investors in turbulent times, in that you get paid a decent dividend yield, helps put up with some of the volatility you get in stock markets. So, you know, big areas for us in the portfolio include utilities, where we have about 9% in that area, 13% in telecoms, and 9% in pharmaceuticals, and about 8% in the combination of food, beverage, and tobacco. So these are all areas which traditionally are kind of more stable. Stocks have better than average dividend yields, and have certainly in 2011 these have been good areas to be in. They've held up a lot better than the market averages.
A lot of these sound like the types of products and services that people are just going to continue using no matter what the economy.
Yes, well, exactly. And I mean, obviously we hold some names that are familiar to American investors, such as, for example, in telecom we hold Verizon Communications, which is obviously one of your leading telecoms companies, but we also hold stocks like France Telecom, Singapore Telecommunications, and Vodafone, the mobile phone company based in the UK. So we're really playing themes that will be familiar to an American investor, but on a global basis. I mean, in pharmaceuticals, for example, we hold Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer, but we also hold GlaxoSmithKline overseas. So it is possible to find in tobacco. We have Reynolds America, but we also have Imperial Tobacco, which is based in the UK. So it's able to find some very excellent, in addition to US companies, you can find overseas some very good companies in this area where you get the stability and you get attractive dividend yield and dividend growth as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've talked a bit today about the dividend yield. You just mentioned the dividend growth. What are some of the other metrics that you're looking at to make an investment decision?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, dividend yield is our most important metric, and we think that dividends are very important in terms of the long-term returns from equities. Dividends, you know, on a very long-term basis are a very big part of the return. I mean, we also think that dividends are a very good discipline in corporate management. They have to pay a progressive dividend to shareholders. That's a benchmark, a yardstick to measure acquisitions and capital expenditure against. Having said that, there are loads of other measures of value, but I think it's really which we look at, and you know, we look at different measures, you know, simple things like PEs and more sophisticated models as well. And we have different measures for different sectors. I mean, we may look at asset values for insurance companies and some other parts for other stocks. But ultimately, our job is we spend a lot of time analyzing the companies, but it's really equating a company's prospects with its share price valuation that's critical to us. And you know, we do find yield the most important element of valuation.
You just summed up quite a few ways to be looking at equities. In these challenging markets as professionals and individuals all know. It's just been tremendously frustrating to navigate some of this. What would be your final words of wisdom today, Job, for individual investors who are just trying to get through this time?
Well, I think the best thing is not to get too swayed by the day-to-day movements, but if you're in a good company and you've got, certainly I think dividend yield is a reasonably good measure to go by, because you know, at least if we're being paid a regular and growing dividend, that is something that at the moment the yields in equities in many stocks are much better than you get in fixed interest, either in the corporate bonds of the equivalent companies. It's certainly much better than you get in treasuries. So I think in these volatile times, you know, to basically, you know, be in stable companies, not be too ambitious about your returns, and to have a decent dividend yield coming in are sort of certainly helpful to investors at the moment.
Makes a lot of sense. Thank you so much for explaining some of this to us today. I really appreciate your time.
It's a pleasure. Good to talk to you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.